Redeeming small things. Now, when we think about redemption, when the Lord came and He redeemed, He came to redeem mankind. He came to save us. He didn't come just to model for us how to live our lives. That if that was why He came, we're in trouble because we couldn't do what He did anyway. We couldn't live because of our sin nature. We could not do that. But once we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, then we can strive to live like Him, and we'll still never be perfect. Amen. We'll never be that. But we can strive for that. Jesus didn't come just to model for us how to live our lives. He came to die on a cross and then so that we might be saved. He rose again. And so here's a thought with this. He didn't come just to redeem mankind. There's a time come where He's going to redeem all of His creation. Everything that sin has touched is going to be redeemed. And we're going to see a story this morning about Him redeeming something that He redeemed. And then we're going to look at redeeming small things in our own life. Now, we're going to look at Jesus of Nazareth. We saw some of the pictures up there. Some of them talked about this Nazareth village that we went to. And it's one of those, it's kind of like the Pioneer Frontier up in north of DeLand. If you've ever been there, it's an old settlement. People are dressed like the period times. They're living it out. They're farming and doing things like they would have done 150 years ago or however the time frame is on that. So the Nazareth village, they built this and they model for us. I mean, as you go through there, there's a guy making candles, making they're making blankets and different things, taking wool and spinning it into the thread and then making different things with that. So they model how that would have looked 2,000 years ago. And it was a place that we had visited in 2002. The first time I went over there, we went to this Nazareth village. And then we didn't go again. And then there's a period of time where they were closed down. And so I found out it was open again. And I pushed Aaron. I said, Aaron, we got to go to the Nazareth village. He's like, I don't know. So I pushed him. Said, it's my itinerary. It's my group. This is what I want to do. And so the other guides that were going, the other pastors that were putting it together, I guess they got talking about it. We were all like, yeah, well, let's give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. And I think it was a highlight. That was one of the highlights for a lot of the people. So we went there. It was a great place. So at there, I got to give this devotion, and I'm just going to expand on it some this morning. But when you think about Nazareth, what do you think about? When I say Nazareth and you think about the town of Nazareth, what do you think about? And you're probably thinking of some things in your head right now. For me, if you say Nazareth, I would have thought about this. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? I would think of that. So this is what we're going to look at. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael. So as Philip had... these disciples they've found Christ. Christ found them. They found Him. And now they're beginning to find their friends and bring. So Philip found Nathanael. Philip goes to Nathanael and he says to him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." That's who he found, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That was the sentiment. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you hear that. When you hear that, you hear prejudice. You hear a disdain, a looking down on them for Nazareth and that area. And Philip said to him, "Come and see." I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to talk you into it. If you want to find out, come. We have found Him. This is the Messiah. You come. And can anything good come out of Nazareth? This Jesus of Nazareth, this person, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Could anything good, much less the Messiah, come out of Nazareth? So you see what they're saying. And he just says, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You know, the Lord, we don't know. This is between Nathanael and the Lord. But Nathanael was under the tree, and we saw the fig tree. We saw it. It had no leaves on it. We saw the fig tree. And when I saw that fig tree, when we got there, I'm looking for the fig tree. I'm looking for a fig tree. It's not the fig tree. But I'm looking for a fig tree. And finally, we found the fig tree. So I asked him later, I said, "Did you see Nathanael standing by the tree?" Because I did. I saw it in color, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm looking at that tree, and I'm thinking about him under that tree. And I don't know what he was thinking or what he was doing, but what's interesting is the Lord knew everything about that. And he revealed that to Nathanael, and Nathanael was like, whoa, whoa. And so you see the response he has. Rabbi, he doesn't say Lord, he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. He already makes a profession of some type there. We don't know if he where he was really at in that point. We know he's going to come to faith, true saving faith later. But this statement here of can anything good come out of Nazareth? Did you know the Old Testament never mentioned Nazareth? Not once. If you search Nazareth, it's not going to come up. It's not in the prophecies. It's not in, there's no history that's recorded of it. Not one time in the Old Testament is Nazareth recorded. Prominent writers of Jesus' day didn't mention Nazareth. So it's a very, it's just, it's not talked about. It was a forgotten town. It's a forgotten town in an obscure region up there in Galilee, away from everything else. It's an obscure town, and it's off the beaten path. So the main trail, whatever, this is, you know, it's if you go into Georgia and you go up to Athens, Georgia, to find where I grew up, the hometown where I grew up in, Isla, Georgia. You got it. It's an obscure town in a small little county. It's a big county, actually, but it's an obscure county. And it's out off the beaten path. It'd be like going to Isla. Can anything good? Isla? What's coming out of Isla? So there's this thought. There's just not a lot that was known of Nazareth at that time. And among Jews, Nazareth's reputation was poor, but outside of Israel, the town wasn't even known. So they may have looked down on Nazareth, but other people, they didn't even know. They didn't even know of Nazareth. They didn't even know there was such a place. And that kind of explains why each of the gospel writers had to explain what Nazareth was. And they would have written like a town in Galilee. They would have given some direction. You don't have to say they went to Jerusalem. You know, a town in Israel. They knew where Jerusalem was. They knew where Bethlehem was. Those were prominent places. But they have to give, so like Matthew chapter 2, verse 23 says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. It wasn't like they could just say, and they dwelt in Nazareth. Because people would have said, Nazareth? What is Nazareth? So he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Mark 1, 9 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. So that people didn't know what Nazareth, they didn't know where it was, but that gives more instruction. Oh, Galilee, we understand Galilee, up by the Sea of Galilee. It's in that area there. It's a geographical marker for them. So then Luke records it in chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So those who were reading this, they wanted to give some context of where this was. If they just said Nazareth, people wouldn't have even known where it was. Where is it? I mean, where is that? At least now they've narrowed it down. It's a city up in Galilee. It's an obscure area, small town off the beaten path. And so it's this little area of Nazareth. Just a few weeks ago, you know, we were singing about the little town of Bethlehem, right? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. I should have searched that. I don't know. I can't recall a single song we sing about Nazareth. We don't sing about Nazareth. They wouldn't have thought about Nazareth in those days. While there were those who would have looked to Bethlehem, they understand the prophecy of Bethlehem and what would go on there. But, you know, Bethlehem, humble as it was compared to Jerusalem. Now, you got the big city of Jerusalem, and you go up to Jerusalem. It's a spiritual high place there. That was the way it was considered. But you literally go up to Jerusalem. Everywhere you go from Jerusalem, you go down. You would have gone in those days, they would have seen it as you go down spiritually, but you physically, you go down. So even if you go north, we would say you go up there to go north, but Galilee is north of Jerusalem, but they would say you go down to Galilee because everything is down from that point. And so it's tiny. You know, it's tiny compared to Jerusalem. Bethlehem's tiny compared to Jerusalem. But the name of Bethlehem dwarfed Nazareth's name. I mean, you've got Bethlehem and all the scripture references to that. Bethlehem was a city. It wasn't just a village. It was a city. And it had a history. It is the city of David. David was born there. So it's just from that, it was a well-known area. So in comparison, listen, Bethlehem is mentioned in 39 Old Testament verses. 39. Nazareth is mentioned in 0. There was prejudice toward everything associated with Nazareth, and there was disdain for the people of Nazareth. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But this is where God ordained his son to grow up. You know, he didn't, you know, Nazareth is where his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph were from, and it's where they would return following Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. And it's amazing when you think of that, they lived. Mary and Joseph live in Nazareth. They're Nazarenes. That's where they live. And the angel comes to them, Gabriel, and tells them what to do. And so they're going to have this child, but they are now having to go to Bethlehem because of the census of this time where they had to go back to family. So Joseph had family lineage in Bethlehem, so he has to go back to Bethlehem. It's amazing how God ordained that. And it was prophesied that that's where Christ would be born. So he works the circumstances to take them from Nazareth. Jesus wasn't born there. But he goes and he's born in Bethlehem, and then he will ultimately, they will move back to Nazareth, and that's where the Lord will grow up. And so Nazareth is where the Lord chose for the Lord to grow up. And Nazareth is where Jesus chose to spend the majority of his life and even his ministry. The majority of his years were spent right there in Nazareth. Now, he would have gone over to Capernaum. He would have gone over to Cana and those areas that were close. But he lived in Nazareth. He grew in there. He worked there. It's this little, now gauge this. Jesus could have got up old enough and said, hey, I'm going to the big time. I'm going to the big house. I'm going down to Jerusalem. That's where I want to learn and grow as the spiritual pinnacle of our country. That's where I want to go as the spiritual high place. He didn't do that. The plan was, God's plan, and Jesus was submitted to this, that he was to be born in Bethlehem, but he was to grow in Nazareth. And God used this little town of Nazareth in his life to prepare him for his ministry, and he ministered there as well. So Jesus of Nazareth. We hear that today, right? We talk about Jesus of Nazareth. That's the name. So to use Nazareth in that time when Jesus was there, it was a slur. It was a slur. When Gina and I lived, do you remember this, Gina, when we lived in Gastonia? Gastonia was looked down on. So the people in, I worked 20 minutes away in the eastern edge of, the western edge of Charlotte. We lived in Gastonia. Anybody know where Gastonia, North Carolina is? Small little town. Well, it ain't small now. It was a small little town that has boomed. It's just blown up like Oviedo in the last maybe 30 years. Just blew up. And so, but there was a disdain. There was a looking down. That was Hickville. We're Charlotte. You live in Gastonia, and they called it Gas Town. You live in Gas Town, huh? And that, I mean, it was a prejudice and a looking down on that. That's the way it was then. It was a slur. To talk about Nazareth was a slur. It was a put down. It was derogatory. And those who used it in Jesus' day, as he's beginning his ministry, he's working, it was designed to tear down his credibility. So the demons used it in Mark 1:24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The only ones who were using it, those who were working against him, the only ones who called him this, his enemies and the false witnesses, Acts chapter 6, verse 14, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." The soldiers that sought him in the garden were seeking Jesus of Nazareth. John chapter 18, verse 5 says, "They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, who also stood with them, now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Who are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And while they despaired, while they despised him for his hometown," they despised him for that. They looked down on him. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's not Jesus of Jerusalem. He's not Jesus of some holy place. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Even his fellow Nazarenes rejected him. It was a time where they rejected him. He drove him out of town and threatened to throw him off the cliff. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built." And as we went through Nazareth, we don't know which hill, but there's a lot of hills. I mean, we were riding in the bus overlooking some overlooks that you trust in the bus driver. You're finding out your faith at that point. And but they went to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. I find that amazing. They're going to throw him off. And then Jesus just, whatever, God does something. And he just turns around, and they're like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? He just walks right through them and walks away. It wasn't his time. And they weren't going to do anything until it was his time. But they looked down on him as much for his hometown. And then his own people are turning against him. And then even Pilate in John 19:19. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now you know the Jews hated that. And we could go into that. The Jews hated that. They didn't want him called King of the Jews. They had rejected him. Pilate is jabbing them. He found no fault in him, and yet he still caved to them and the pressure they put on him. He missed an incredible opportunity there, but he writes this title, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But Nazareth's story, and we're talking here about Nazareth's story, it didn't end in dishonor, because at this point, it's a place of dishonor. No one looks at Nazareth as this great place, this wonderful place. And again, you think of Christ. Where is our Savior going to be born? Where is he going to grow? You would think it would be some amazing place. See, God raised him, God raised up lowly Nazareth when he raised up his son. He raised him from the dead, but he raises up Nazareth as well. He redeems this small place. And Jesus of Nazareth is no longer a derogatory slur. It's now a blessed title. When we think of Jesus of Nazareth today, we don't think, oh man, Nazareth, that's wild. We think, man, this is Jesus of Nazareth. That's the title he wears. And so the Father saw fit not only to redeem a fallen race, but also a disgraced nickname when he raised Jesus, the Nazarene, from the dead. Now the risen Christ is indeed Jesus of Nazareth, not in shame, but in unparalleled glory. Nazareth, this little town, this little obscure place, is now forever linked with God of the universe, with Emmanuel, with God in flesh, with the eternal Word of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Think about that. This little obscure place, no one even knew where it was, and those who did know looked down on it. And today, that name follows Jesus everywhere. That name gets to tag along with the Savior of the world. It's an incredible, incredible thing. And first, that title, it came from the angel at the tomb. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. The angel's calling him that now. It's glorified. It's not a slur. It's not a put down. It's not a derogatory statement. It's glorifying who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. In Acts 2:22, Peter preached that the crucified, risen Lord of the universe was none other than Jesus of Nazareth. That's who the Savior is. That's who the risen Lord is. It's this Jesus of Nazareth. In Acts 3:6, Peter healed a lame man, if you go back and read that, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It wasn't just Jesus. It was Jesus of Nazareth. This name is there. And it declared the name to all who would listen. As Peter goes in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, he says, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even to Caesarea, he went preaching to the Gentiles of God's anointing on Jesus of Nazareth. In Acts 10:38, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Then Paul the Apostle wrote, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He knew that name, but at that time it was derogatory. He was going to do everything he could to put that down. But then Jesus himself identifies with that name. In the only record we have of him self-identifying with Nazareth, he took up the new title when he appeared on the Damascus Road, and he says there to Paul, he says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing when you look at this. How God works never ceases to amaze me. Never ceases to amaze me. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Word of God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was not born in a mighty kingdom, in some majestic palace. That's what we would think. If God's coming in flesh, He's going to be born. He ought to be born in the nicest country. He would be born in America, right? In the greatest city, in the greatest hospital. He'd be born, he wouldn't be in a hospital. He'd be born in the greatest palace, the greatest mansion in that area. He is God. That wasn't how our God worked. Jesus is born in lowly Bethlehem. And He goes and live in even lowlier Nazareth. And He's raised there. So He's born in lowly Bethlehem. He's raised in lowlier Nazareth. But see, God takes the smallest of things to confound the mighty. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 17 through the end of the chapter. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross, listen, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has, and He continues to again and again and again. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we see how God redeemed little Nazareth, a little town. Redeemed it. The name that Nazareth has now is amazing. God used little Nazareth and the people of little Nazareth in His Son's life. Used those things. Amen? So my question for us this morning is this. What Nazareth has God used in your life? What Nazareth has God used in your life? What small place or small thing have you looked down on and thought that you have risen or must rise above that? Is it your heritage? Well, God can't use me. I mean, you don't know my family. You don't know what my dad was like and my mom was like. Can I tell you, your faith and your walk with God has nothing to do with your heritage. It's not hindered by who your parents were, how good or how bad they were. That your relationship with God has a personal plan for you. Your past, well, you don't know about my past. You don't know about the things in my past. About your hometown. I mean, I'm from Isla, Georgia. It's still, I think they have a flashing light there now. They might even have a full red light. Is it a red light now? Wow, big time. It was forever the place, if you blinked, you'd ride right through it. Isla, Georgia. God couldn't use me. I'm just a hick from Isla. Or your education. Well, you know what? I don't have a great education. I, I went to work. I quit school in the 10th grade and went to work. I didn't get through with high school. I didn't get through with it. I don't have a college degree. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a doctorate. God couldn't use me because I don't have that. Your status. And we all have something we don't like about the way we look. There's a lot of things we're so critical of that, and yet God made you. He made you exactly like you are. So when we complain about, now, listen, I could still lose a few pounds. I can't blame God for that. That's me. So I can do that. I can fix that. But all the other, the Lord made me the way He made me. He made me. So if I complain about that, I'm disparaging Him in His creation. But there's a guy named David, I think it's David Ring. Anybody ever heard David Ring? David Ring has... I don't know if it's the right thing. Maybe it's mentally retarded. There's something with him, and yet God used him in amazing ways. Amazing ways. Nick Vujicic, I've mentioned before, no arms, no legs. God used him in amazing ways. Good night. We've got two arms and two legs. What's our excuse? We don't stutter around like David Ring. He's whatever it is. I'm not trying to mock him, but he can't hardly move and walk, and he struggles to talk, and yet he preaches the Word of God, and God uses him. He didn't let a handicap prohibit him from doing what God wanted him to do. Or your ministry. You know, you put down this little, I can't do much, so I'm just an assistant in a class. Praise God. Don't look down on that. I VBS, you know, I just help with the food, and you know, I just put out cookies because I'm not really a teacher. So, well, praise God for that. And be faithful in what God lets you do and what He puts you into and what you're willing to step up and do, because He'll give you more. But don't look down on these things. See, God uses the small things in our lives to mold us and shape us and make us into what He wants us to be. And He's more concerned with the be than He is the do. Because as He gets the be right, when you get right with God, when you be what He wants you to be, you'll do what He wants you to do. You can't do your way into being, but you be your way into doing. So don't look down on who you are, where you are, where you're from, or what you have, what you don't have. God is in control, and He's working in and through the small things in your life. Don't disparage those things. Glorify the Lord. Glory in the Lord for the small things in your life. Because God had a plan. Little Geneva. Little Geneva. Well, I've been in Geneva my whole life. It's just this little town. It's Nazareth. God puts you here to make you who you are and what He wants you to be. Let Him do the work. Submit to what it is He wants to do in your life. Glory in the little things. Allow those little things to do the work that He wants done in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And then glory in the Lord that we ourselves, listen, we're small things. Talk about Nazareth. I can talk about me. I'm just a small thing. I'm an insignificant thing. I'm not the wise. I'm not the mighty. I'm not one born rich, one born in a powerful family. None of those things. I'm just a little me. But God loves me. And God has a plan for my life. And God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. Let Him use the little things in your life to make you who He wants to be. Submit to that and glory in that. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for Nazareth. You don't think about how, Lord, that was your plan. That was your plan before you ever moved in creation, that Jesus would be born in little Bethlehem. And would be raised and spend most of His life in little Nazareth that others looked down on and disdained it and it was derogatory statements about it. They made jokes about it, and they looked down on those who come from there. And yet, God, that was your plan, to use little Nazareth in molding Jesus on this earth. Lord, help us not to look down on the little things in our life that you've allowed in our life, that you've brought in our life, that you've intentionally put in our lives. You have a plan for all of those. And may we not think that you can't use me because I come from a little town, or I come from parents that were nobodies, or I come from a bad heritage, or I don't have the education, or I don't speak well, or I don't look like I ought to, you know, I think someone ought to look that's going to be doing this or doing that. Lord, these little things that, Lord, so often you use to make us who you want us to be. So, Lord, may we just submit to that, and then would we glory, God, would we glory in the little things you've put in our life. Father, thank you. Thank you for the little things. Thank you for taking little us, dying for us, saving us, and the fact that you would use us in ministry. You'd use us as a part of your work. We glory in that, Lord, so we thank you. Lord, just bless now as we have this this time to respond. Lord, I don't know what you might be doing in hearts this morning, but we're going to open the altar, Lord, and give folks an opportunity maybe to come and pray, come and talk to you, maybe to give you something that they need to give you, or, Lord, to receive something you want to give them. But Lord, I just pray you'll move now, and we'll be obedient to respond to what you want to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.